broadcast studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos Griego and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call them at 444-7200. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Want to say hello to our state senator, Mark Moores. He is a candidate for the Congressional District 1 seat that has been recently vacated. And we have the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, Paul Gessing, in studio. Mark and Paul, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Well, thanks, Jim, for having us on. We're really excited about this. Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate, Mark, you making the time available. I know your schedule is just erratic, and I will say that my friend Paul Gessing has a similar schedule because he's much different than a sports reporter. Keeping up with politics is at least 100 times as hard, at least in my opinion, keeping up with all the things that are going on right now in politics. Paul's got a bunch of things he wants to talk to you about today.
Yeah, hey Mark.
Paul knows politics and he knows sports well. So you and I, as former Lobos, maybe Paul can put us on waivers or something like that. He knows the game pretty well.
Well, I know the games, but I never played them at the level that you both gentlemen played at. So kudos on that. And I'd like to see a football game between you two and maybe a basketball game, and we can referee.
That would not be a pretty sight.
That's right. If you put it in slow motion, neither of us would be moving.
So, Senator Moores, I was pleased to be able to vote early voting, which is, of course, going on right now in this CD1 congressional district race. And you're one of the folks on the ballot for that, trying to replace Deb Holland. And I wanted to take this opportunity to ask you a few questions about not only your record in Santa Fe, but also what your priorities are going to be in Washington should you be elected. And I'll just ask that one. What will your top legislative priorities be in Washington, D.C.? One or two, preferably specific bills, would be ideal.
Paul, thank you for the question, and encourage everyone to get out and vote. As you mentioned, early voting has already started. Election day is June 1st. There hasn't been a big run on the polls, so we have a great opportunity for conservatives to get out and vote and make sure everyone does that. And so if everyone who's listening to this radio station right now gets themselves and their families to go vote, we can win this. Because it's critical, Paul. Right now with the crime, and that's obviously been a huge issue and will be a big priority and focus of me once we get into Washington to help New Mexico and Albuquerque, particularly with this crime epidemic that is happening. With 50 murders already this year alone in Albuquerque, running gun battles we have, and we cannot move forward as a state and or a city until we get this crime out of control crime under control, because we can't get economic development. We can't get businesses to move here, especially with our hostile business culture that we have in New Mexico through the state government and the schools. And all of our children who are graduating college or younger professional adults are moving out of state. And we saw that with the very static population growth in the last 10 years. New Mexico is stagnant, and we can't improve until we get this crime. So I'm really going to be focusing on that. There's a number of proposals that we'll be working on. One of them deals with sanctuary cities. If these cities are going to continue and counties are going to continue to be sanctuary and violate the federal laws, I think they should be held accountable to their citizens, and the citizens should have the right to sue them for who are victims of crime if they're going to continue to violate federal law and not follow ICE processes and federal processes. I think of the Sam Vigil case. He was my guest at one of the debates 2 weeks ago, where he walked out in the driveway and he saw his wife had just been shot in the back of her head and murdered, and the person who pulled the trigger Sam saw him getting into the car and pulling off just happened. Well, that guy had been deported 4 times. The Albuquerque Public Police Department knew this guy was in town, knew he was not here legally. That guy had just been involved in an attempted murder just the week beforehand. he should have been reported to the federal government, and he should have been in prison. And that is a travesty and a failure of the system. And Sam's wife should be alive today because of that. And so I'm really going to push for those kind of reforms that really help law enforcement do their job. And I'm also going to fight hard against this defund the police radical agenda that my opponent Melanie Stansberry is pushing. Some of the positions she's taken, and including the BREATHE Act, are just absolutely radical. That would defund police, shut down ICE, DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, take away the crime of entering the country illegally. In fact, she said during our debate that anyone who wanted to come to the United States of America, anyone, should be allowed to. And we just can't do that. We can't do that as a nation. We have to have secure borders. We have to have a legal immigration system. And I think we all agree that the immigration system we have in America has to be by the law. And we're a very proud nation of immigrants, and it's our DNA. But we have to follow the law, and we have to have a system in place that respects those who have been waiting in line in their home country to come here for the opportunity of liberty and economic prosperity. And we just can't have this open border agenda that Melanie Stansberry supports. So those are some of the main focuses. I'm going to hit the ground running on day one, and we really need to clean up Albuquerque and make Albuquerque much safer. And under her proposals, Albuquerque would be more dangerous and less prosperous.
All right. Well, thank you for that very detailed answer. Now, I know we could talk about a lot of aspects of just that issue and crime alone, but when it comes to New Mexico's economy right now, the Biden administration, and really it seems like Democrats in Congress, although they haven't been directly involved as much with energy policy, the moratorium on permitting on New Mexico's federal lands is a big issue. Energy in general is a huge issue. Talk about what you would do to fight back against restrictions, and more broadly, your energy kind of views and perspectives.
You know, I would definitely join Congresswoman Yvette Harrell's effort to push back on the Biden administration ban or blocking those permits. You know, New Mexico is very reliant on oil and gas. So it's one of our only industries in the state that thrives. There's 134,000 jobs in the state of New Mexico tied to the oil and gas industry. That's 134,000 families in New Mexico. And it accounts for, depending on the year, up to 40% of our state revenue. And even the governor, who's pretty liberal, opposes what the Biden administration's doing. Now, my opponent, Melanie Stansberry, is fully supportive of closing down the oil and gas industry and what the administration is doing. So she is far to the left of even the governor on this issue, because the governor realizes that we need the 134,000 jobs, and that we need that 40% of that revenue to pay for roads and bridges and schools and our law enforcement and all the things that we need that money for. The governor even says that that's radical agenda of shutting down oil and gas is bad for New Mexico. So that just shows you how radical and far left Melanie Stansberry is. So I'm fully supportive of the industry. We got to push back on that Biden proposal. We got to have that jobs. And with 50% of New Mexico state land mass owned by the federal government, and a lot of the exploration on being on federal lands on the southeast part of the state and northwest part of the state, that ban really hurts New Mexico much worse than other states. Texas has that has very little federal land. So those companies can just move up and drill holes and into the oil fields down in Texas. They don't need to be exploring in New Mexico. There's other places where they can explore and get that same oil from. And so, but those jobs, that 134,000 jobs, will leave New Mexico, and we won't have that revenue. So we have to protect that industry, and I will definitely fight for them.
Mark, before the Republican Party hosted down in Amarillo, Texas, which I found to be quite odd, and Congressman Steve Pierce, the Republican Party chairman here in New Mexico, shared with us why that event was held in Amarillo. Again, kind of sad that our New Mexico Lobo football team and our New Mexico Lobo men's and women's basketball team didn't get to compete in New Mexico, but a lot of hoteliers made a lot of money on our teams, and sure wish our hoteliers in New Mexico. That's just my opinion. But I hope that that event went well, Operation Freedom, and that you had got some good ideas together. You mentioned Yvette Harrell and her campaign to try to preserve oil and gas. But Steve Pierce told us something very alarming, that as much as 30%, as many as 30% of the oil and gas rigs in Hobbs and in that southeast corner of the state have already started to move into Texas, as you've already mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And that's scary because Texas doesn't have the regulatory reform. There's much more security in what's moving forward with the Texas being pro-business and open to business, where New Mexico is hostile to business. And it's not just oil and gas. New Mexico is constantly beating up on small businesses, and with new taxes, for instance, in the last 3 years alone, my opponent has voted to raise taxes by $500 million on everything from gas to income, including creating a new tax on health insurance, of all things. You know, here we are in the middle of a pandemic, and she's voting to raise tax on health insurance coverage. So it's just those are the kind of anti-business hostilities that the other side has, and it's really kept New Mexico back. And quite frankly, I don't say this as a joke, they're much harder on small businesses than they are on criminals. And it shows. Crime's out of control, and entrepreneur and businesses cannot thrive in the state of New Mexico, and they pick up the businesses that are here, pick up and move out of state into Arizona or Texas or Colorado or elsewhere.
Yeah, you bet. New Mexico State Senator Mark Morris is on the phone with us. Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation in studio. Mark, of course, is a candidate for District 1 congressional seat with the U.S. Congress, and we are fortunate to have him on the air today. Mark, I want to ask you before we take a break here in just a second, and we have a lot more to talk to you about in our second 15 minutes together, but I want to ask you about right to life issues. And I would like, if you would allow me, to voice an opinion. And I know that this is a very sensitive subject. You know, I talk with Ethel Maharg with the Right to Life Committee. I have pregnancy centers like CareNet and their representatives on all the time. And I guess I have a viewpoint of this. I think that most people, particularly my own view is that I'd love to not have abortion. But at the same time, I've seen a lot of people try to get this all or nothing kind of legislation through, and so far we're getting nothing. So I've heard about a concept under consideration called the pain-capable abortion bill that would limit abortion after 20 weeks. To me, it seems like this would be a lot better than allowing abortion up to the day of delivery, which was what we currently have in New Mexico. So maybe it doesn't go as far spiritually and morally as many pro-life supporters would like, but it is a place to start. Would you agree with that?
Oh, without a question. But, and, you know, in New Mexico, we're not even talking about that. In New Mexico, you can have an abortion up to the very last second, up to birth. And I used that comment during a debate, is every one of us who's a parent remembers that moment when you held your baby in your arms. It brings tears to our eyes. You know, think about holding our babies in their arms for that first moment. And in New Mexico, it's appalling that just moments before that, literally minutes, that was legally allowed to be aborted. Babies would be illegally allowed to be aborted. That is a human being. And in New Mexico, Melanie Stansberry supports that up-to-birth abortion. And also she supports taxpayer-funded abortion, which I think is morally reprehensible. So it's not even that. It's all the way up to birth. And that's why we're the abortion capital of the world, because we have no limitations on abortions at all in New Mexico. And no parental notification, no late-term abortion ban, nothing in this state. And that's why people from around the world fly to New Mexico to get abortions.
Yes. I want to point out to our listeners that if you want more information, we obviously are going to have Mark for another 15 minutes after our break here in a minute. But you can go to Moores, M-O-O-R-E-S, forcongress.com and find out more about his platforms and even contact the campaign for more information. And then, of course, we have Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation. His address is riograndefoundation.org. A lot of information, even about the voting record of Mark Moores and Melanie Stansberry, available on his Freedom Index. And so we've got a lot more to talk about. We hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
In the spring, children's thoughts turn to creating wonderful summer memories. That's the case with your children and the children at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. We care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Help them have the summer every child dreams of having. Your donation of funds and gift cards to restaurants, ice cream shops, and sporting events will make that happen. We can also use gift cards from clothing stores to help us outfit our children for the summer. Call 898-5520. Or online at acch4kids.org.
Listen to Melanie Stansberry.
We need to pass the BREATHE Act in Congress.
That's right. Radical liberal Melanie Stansberry supports the most dangerous legislation in America as Albuquerque faces record numbers of homicides. Stansberry is supporting legislation that defunds and dismantles the police, empties every federal prison in 10 years. Murderers, rapists, and child molesters all walking free.
We need to pass the BREATHE Act.
Melanie Stansberry, ready to let the most violent criminals walk free.
We need to pass the BREATHE Act.
Stop the madness. Stop Melanie Stansberry before it's too late. Only you have the power to do it. Mark Moores, the only conservative Republican who will ensure law enforcement has the funding to keep us safe and keep violent criminals behind bars. Early, by mail or in person, in the June 1st special election, vote conservative Republican Mark Moores for Congress.
I'm Mark Moores, and I approve this message. Paid for by Mark Moores for Congress.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you're shopping for your next mortgage loan. Maybe you're purchasing a home or refinancing at a lower rate. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or you can reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. New Mexico State Senator Mark Moores, candidate for the Congressional District 1 seat in U.S. Congress, is on the phone. And Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, more questions for Mark.
Yeah, and, Rio Grande Foundation is involved in the legislative process more so than what happens in Washington, although that certainly trickles down to New Mexico in some big ways. And the legislative votes between you and Melanie Stansberry really do highlight some major differences. And, you know, I think it's important to really note just how radical her record is. One of the bills, and I know you're aware of this, but I wanted to, just highlight it and get your thoughts. One of the tax increase bills that Stansberry voted yes on this session, so just recently, was HB 291. It ultimately failed in the Senate because even the Democrats in the Senate opposed it, but that bill would have allowed property tax increases of up to 10% annually if you don't live in the house that you own. Could be an apartment, could be a condo, could be some other situation. That's just incredible, and I think it's something that needs to be talked about even more. She's obviously voted for other tax increases, but kind of talk a little bit more in detail about the tax hikes that she has supported over her time in office.
Yeah, Paul, I think that is an excellent highlight of how progressive and radical she is. I don't think she's ever not voted for a tax increase. And she hasn't voted. There hasn't been a spending bill she hasn't voted for either. And that tax bill, 10% increase in property tax. Think about how much that would hurt New Mexicans and property and investment in the state of New Mexico. And that's just one of her tax increases. I mentioned earlier she's voted for gas tax increases, and that is a regressive tax for someone who claims to be fighting for poor working families. To pass a gas tax increase that is unfairly burdens working families more so than it does someone who's wealthy enough to be able to buy a Tesla, who doesn't pay the tax at all. And so now you're even hurting those who are buying gas even more so. And that's about her hatred of the oil and gas industry and trying to drive them out of business. And I mentioned earlier in healthcare, in the middle of a pandemic, she voted to increase tax on health insurance. So those of us like myself who we provide health insurance for our employees, what she did is raise the cost of for private sector employees and private sector employers to provide health care and for the people of New Mexico. And you already have 40 to 44% of New Mexicans on Medicaid, and of course that doesn't affect that cost, but for private sector people, it definitely hurts our ability to provide health insurance for our employees. So those are just some of the examples of how she is just continuously voting for tax increases. And I've joked that she's voted for $500 million of tax increases here in New Mexico in the last 3 years alone, and she's just looking forward to getting to Washington, D.C., where she can vote for trillions of dollars of tax increases, because really that's what she is about.
Now, before I hand it over to Jim, I want to follow up on the tax issue, which Social Security taxation has come up in the campaign. Now, it's worth clarifying that she is in the majority party. She has a lot more influence, unfortunately, in Santa Fe than folks in the minority party like yourself. And Social Security taxes didn't even come up for a vote on the floor this session. Talk about how you feel about Social Security taxes, and again, how this translates to Washington, D.C., as opposed to your opponent.
Well, Paul, it actually did come up for a vote on the Senate side because I stood up during a tax bill that was you mentioned earlier. I stood up and ran an amendment that would have eliminated the double taxation that New Mexico has on Social Security benefits. We're one of only 12 states that taxes Social Security when it goes in and taxes it when it comes out. It's a double taxation and it's just unfair. And as you said, the Democrats have full control of the legislature. And so what we saw is that this last legislative session, they passed every single one of their priorities, every single one. The one issue they didn't pass in 60 days, marijuana, they called us back for a special session the next week and got it passed in within 2 days. So there wasn't any other priorities that they did not pass or could not have passed. And so what we saw on the Senate side is people had sponsored a repeal. Democrats had sponsored a repeal of the Social Security bill. They had signed their name to a piece of paper, in essence. But when I came up down and I stood up and I ran that amendment on the floor, those same people who claimed to support it voted no. And that just tells you that's the kind of politicians that Washington doesn't need and Santa Fe doesn't need, where they will write down on their name on a piece of paper, claim they did something, but when they had the power and the ability to step up and do something, they turn their backs to senior citizens in New Mexico, and New Mexico will continue to have double taxation on Social Security. And that's unfair. It is absolutely unfair to double tax our seniors on that Social Security payment.
Well, Mark, our listeners are people that I think are really engaged not only with our station but this show, because they are trying to think through all of these issues and so forth. And I'm going to try to make an analogy that may be unfair, but I'm kind of limited in because my background is largely athletics, and we teased each other at the beginning of the show. I was a Lobo basketball player, graduated in 1980. I think you're 12 or 14 years after me as a Lobo football player. And we both know that if an athletics coach, it could be at New Mexico State, it could be at Highlands, it could be at the University of New Mexico, wherever it is, if that athletic coach is not successfully winning games in 4 or 5 years, what happens? The public is in an uproar and wants them replaced. Why is that not true with our state politicians and our politicians in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress? Because the record that we have in New Mexico with Democrat control over 61 years, Paul Gessing's website says they've had the trifecta. They've had the governorship. They've had 61 out of the last 90-plus years. They've had the Senate. They've had the House and they've had the governorship, and yet we are last in every good list and at the top of every bad list.
Jim, you just hit it on the head. I serve in the New Mexico State Senate, and the last time Republicans were elected to the majority in the state Senate was 90 years ago. And ever since then, we have had a couple, few Republican governors in the last 90 years, but every one of those governors had to work or were blocked by a Democrat legislature. Every Democrat governor we've had in the last 9 years had, during their term, has had complete control of the House and the Senate. So just like what happens now, the governor and the leadership of the House and Senate want something like this last session. They completely have full power to do whatever they want. No Republican governor ever in the last 90 years has had that ability to get legislation through that it was conservative and pro-business. And that is why New Mexico is where it is. Why we're 49th and 50th on all the bad ratings out there. Crime, poor schools, poor, up and down, poor child welfare. Why we're leading the nation in abortion. That's just, it's appalling. And that's what this election is about.
Yeah.
This is a chance to turn the tide and win this special election and get momentum going into next year's governors and House races. So New Mexico has had enough of the defund the police, the movement, the radical agenda, the up to birth abortion agenda, and all those things that we fight. This is the time for everyone listening to get to the polls, get their neighbors to the polls and all their family members to the polls that are open right now until 7 o'clock. All those early convenience center polls are open until 7 o'clock, Monday through Saturday, and get people. And this is our chance to change this, because it will be a lower voter turnout election. We know that only about 5% of the voters have voted so far. So we're looking at a very low turnout. So that means everyone listening now has more power to change New Mexico than ever in the past. So get out the vote, go to Moores for Congress, sign up to volunteer, make phone calls, go knock doors, make a donation, because we really need to fight the East Coast money that's been pouring into this race from the other side. But really, really critical, go vote. Don't wait, go vote today as soon as possible. And the lines aren't long, and you can get in there and get out really quickly and start making phone calls and get all your friends and family members to go vote too, because this race can turn the tide for New Mexico.
Mark, we appreciate you being on so much. We didn't get through all the questions we had for you, but that might be a good excuse to get you back on the air here before June 1st. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless you and all your work and your family. I know it's hard, all the things that you're exposed to, and I thank you for helping our listeners think through some of these issues, and it's just a blessing, and I appreciate you working hard on our behalf. So thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Paul. God bless you. I really appreciate it.
All right. We'll be back with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, to talk more New Mexico politics and all kinds of things he is working on. Some overlap with everything Mark's been talking about too, this, in our first segment. We'll be right back after these messages.
Serving you and your family.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosca Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air.
Corey and Anne-Marie Pensabeni recently sold their home with Holly at Dave Slade & Associates. Corey, why did you hire Holly to sell your home?
We knew that Holly would help us to prepare our home to have the best curb appeal possible. Over the years, we've looked at Holly's website, albuquerquehomeseeker.com, and we've gotten looks at homes that she's had for sale in our area, in our neighborhood, and as we expected, Holly did such a great job. She had our home sold within 2 days, actually less than 48 hours, and Holly protected us from day one. She walked us through all the details before even the offer was made to us. She made sure that the buyer had their things in order, and the preparation of the paperwork was very thorough. She will always be the realtor of choice.
Anne-Marie, did you enjoy working with Holly and her team?
Oh, absolutely. Holly takes care of everything by the book from A to Z, and your property sells quickly.
Contact Holly at 342-8100 or abqhomeseeker.com. Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We would like to thank Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade & Associates Realtors. They are sponsors of the programming here on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or you can reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation in studio. Paul, the resources you have at riograndefoundation.org are phenomenal. We mentioned a couple of them while we were talking with Mark Moores. Tell us a little bit more. All of the topics we'll have for the rest of the segment, you have little things in your Areas of Enchantment blog and other information that people can access.
Yeah, there's still so much going on in New Mexico politics, and a lot of those issues are things that my organization really focuses on like a laser. Of course, COVID-19 kind of came on the radar screen for us back in March of 2020, and it does look like we're finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, at least as adults who may or may not be vaccinated. Our kids are still being impacted by the restrictions, especially athletes. I know those are some people that you especially care about. And I'll just say that while we've been on the air here, the governor released her latest red, yellow, green, map, which thankfully that is receding into the, past now, but, all the counties are in turquoise with the exception of Chavez County, which is in green. So, I think things are moving in the right direction. The CDC mask announcement last week was extremely welcome, and yeah, it's been nice to see people's faces again.
Well, and you, I get your newsletter, and you send really interesting links to different articles that you know, even address this mask mandate and how the CDC went in about a 10-day period and did a complete reversal about the use of masks. I mean, it all comes down to, you know, we keep hearing, anytime I hear a government official, including in our public schools, when they use the word science, I have no idea what that means, because it doesn't mean what we think it means. You know, things like the theory of evolution literally has nothing to do with science. And this science about mask wearing, you pointed out on this program, 15 states in this country had no mask mandates, mm-hmm. 12 of them have outperformed New Mexico in terms of mm-hmm. COVID cases and number of deaths.
Yeah, and Texas just announced that, you know, after being called troglodytes and all kinds of nasty names by Biden and other people in the national media, Beto O'Rourke, of course, a politician from Texas, they announced zero deaths in Texas. I believe it was a couple of days ago. They are moving in the, you know, very right direction, and they've had better performance economically and in terms of deaths per population than New Mexico has. And, you know, briefly, we talked to Senator Moores, State Senator Moores, running for U.S. House. Of course, in the last legislative session here, bills were brought forth, both traditional bills that would require a governor's signature. Other bills would require, you know, a constitutional amendment that would require a vote of the people, but no governor's signature. And they were introduced to hold the governor accountable, whoever it may be in the future in an emergency, to limit their power, give the legislature a seat at the table. Those didn't pass. Again, Democrats control the process. It's really on them. But Pennsylvania just had a vote, a referendum in which a majority of the people in Pennsylvania, which they have a Democrat governor, Republicans, I think, have maybe both houses of the Pennsylvania legislature, but this was on the ballot. People got to vote and say up or down, should we restrict the governor up in that state? And they went ahead and did it. So I wish we had that kind of leadership and opportunity here in New Mexico. I would hope that such a restriction, just giving, again, the three branches of government, we need them all to be functioning. You can't just hand power to one person for over a year, and it's just good governance. But Pennsylvania, first in the nation to restrict the governor's power in future emergencies.
And Paul, you're teaching your kids history at home during COVID, and you've kind of told us about some of that history. For example, our forefathers structured our government so that because of the, and I'll say this because we're on a Christian radio station, the sinful nature of man, the government was set up with the three branches so that it would counteract the selfishness that men have. And it would appear to me like we've mentioned this several times. George Washington had his issues in today's, social justice environment. Some people want to say, oh, well, George Washington wasn't worth anything because he was a slaveholder. Well, I happen to disagree with that. He shouldn't have been a slaveholder, but this is a man that could have been the king of America for as long as he wanted. That's how popular he was. Yet his position was, we're going to have term limits. We're going to have a peaceful transition of power. We're going to have all kinds of things that have ended up being amazing for our country. I call them God things because I happen to think that they're not selfish. They're not self-centered. They weren't because somebody wanted control. And you've mentioned the term gerrymandering, which was really a big thing early in our, well, I guess throughout our political process.
Still it's
been
thing.
That way. So the Democrats in the state of New Mexico are literally talking about redistricting New Mexico so that they can win, Democratic candidates can win in every district. And to me, it seems like the most prudent thing would because of all the computer technology and everything we have, that we ought to divide up those districts so they're as even as possible.
Yeah, that's one aspect of, small D democratic republics, which New Mexico, which our country both are. There's a lot of ways we can do redistricting. We know that in general, Democrats have tended to control things here in this state. And, especially in recent memory, they've tended to send more Democrats, to Washington. So they should be fair and above board in terms of the redistricting process. And you mentioned homeschooling and the founding fathers. One of my favorite quotes from all of the founding fathers is from James Madison, Federalist 51 through 60. If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. So, the fact is that we are fallen. We have fallen out of God's grace, but we can, as individuals, be restored through forgiveness. But we also, as individuals, need to be aware that no person, no governor should have total authority. No government should have total authority, even if it is small D Democrat, Republican elected. We need to have checks and balances, and that's what the genius of the Founding Fathers was really all about. It's unfortunate that in today's modern society, the two main parties, almost Trump, not using that term because of Donald, but just their loyalties trump the idea of checks and balances between those different branches. And so when you have issues come in the legislature, you tend to get, well, is this a Democrat bill? Is this a Republican bill? And in New Mexico, Democrat bills pass, Republican bills don't.
You've got an article in your Heiress of Enchantment blog that talks about what would happen if the University of New Mexico were to divest itself from oil and gas revenues given to them and donated to them by the Land Grant Permanent Fund here in New Mexico. How would that affect UNM?
Well, it's not just the Land Grant Permanent Fund. And the reason I specifically wrote about that, there's money in the general fund that comes through the oil and gas industry, because 40% of our general fund, 35% give or take, comes through oil and gas. The reason I brought this up is because the Albuquerque Journal on Sunday had an article. Some faculty members, a large group of them, large enough to get a write-up in the Albuquerque Journal, are pushing to divest resources from the university that are invested from the industry, oil and gas. And I thought it would be interesting to turn that on its head, because New Mexico is the third leading producer of oil and gas. UNM is a large government-financed institution, and their budget comes in many respects directly out of the oil and gas. And so it's kind of a, if you're going to divest from oil and gas, how about oil and gas divests from you as an institution? And I don't know what ultimately is going to happen at UNM, but according to data from, admittedly, the New Mexico Oil and Gas Association, they say that $205 million of UNM's funding comes from oil and gas. Now, that doesn't include tuition. That doesn't include some aspects, but this is main campus here. But, 68,727,000 of that 200 million comes directly from oil and gas. So you're talking a third of the budget. So my question for UNM, its professors, is which third are you going to give up in terms of your pay or the number of professors or whatever other aspects of UNM you want to talk about? Are you willing to give up that kind of money? And it just seems that if you're morally opposed to this industry, then you should not take the money from the industry either.
And I guarantee you none of those professors are willing to take a pay cut in the midst of all of this.
Oh, I can assure you, yes. And despite their many, many aspects of their left-wing ideology, they're very capitalist when it comes to their own pay and benefits.
I wish we could keep talking about these subjects, because each one of these topics is a whole show. But let me ask you about education now. I guess the journal, you mentioned a literacy project, and you say it absolves our education system of any failure. That's got to be a wild article.
Well, it was on the – again, the Albuquerque Journal does a lot of great reporting. And sometimes, while I disagree with the way they approach their reporting – it is kind of the role that the major print outlets can fill, that you can't get the more analytical, detailed approach from the local television media. It's one of the good roles of talk radio, though, as well, is that you can really go into in-depth analysis on some of these things. But on Sunday, the journal had a front page above the fold news story about literacy in New Mexico. It's no surprise. Again, talking to Senator Moores, we're at the top of a bad list or bottom of a good list. In this case, we're 49th in literacy, and the journal story.
We're just barely not 50th.
Right, right. The journal talked about a number of things. The literacy association that's trying to help with literacy. They wrote multiple articles over 2 days. They said this is going to be an ongoing project. And I welcome that. I really, really do, because you can bet that within a day or so, once I'd had a chance to put my ducks together on this issue, I was emailing reporters who were involved in this reporting and saying, hey, you should think about this issue or think about that aspect of the issue. And so the number one thing that did not come up in some 3,000 words of reporting on this over multiple articles was the public school system. K-12 system was not even really mentioned. So not only was the system itself, but the last year of COVID lockdowns and the unions pushing to keep kids out of the classroom and the failures of digital learning and the inequity of all that. But what is all of this going to do to our literacy in the short term and longer term, but also we have a system in place that isn't getting the job done and needs to be reformed and needs to be revamped in ways that will. And finally, how about at least a mention of Susana Martinez, who we didn't always see eye to eye on her education policies, but you may recall that one of her big hobby horses was third grade social promotion in our schools and stopping it, stopping the process of passing along kids who don't have reading skills. The topic was brought up, but no mention was put into the articles of her efforts, literally beating her head against the wall for 8 years, the wall being the Democrat-controlled legislature, to get this simple, basic policy of saying we are not just going to blindly pass kids along in the process to their detriment who cannot read and write by third grade, fourth grade. And it's just something I said, look, these are some topics that I hope you'll consider. This is me emailing reporters with the Albuquerque Journal. And hopefully, you know, you'd be surprised if you don't follow the media like I do. You may not realize that other media outlets get a lot of ideas from what the Albuquerque Journal says and does. You'd be surprised at how much of an agenda setter they are, because unless you read it in the journal when it happens, then you don't know that 2 days later when KKOB or KOB-TV or KOAT or whoever else is reading and writing about this issue. So I really want the journal to get this right. And so we've been asking questions and putting ideas out there, and you can read all about it at heirsofenchantment.com. And we're trying to push that agenda in a more, I think, reasonable direction.
Well, and again, pointing out that as people are listening to Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation, you can go to riograndefoundation.org, and you even have links to Errors of Enchantment, mm-hmm. and you can find all of these articles in much more detail than we can cover today, all kinds of information, and then there's sometimes bibliographical information and links to other things that you can go to as you're going through an article. So you actually have links that go directly to other articles, mm-hmm. Including the journal. So Paul Gessing is our guest. He's the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, spends his livelihood researching all of this good stuff, so we very much appreciate him. When we come back, a lot of people have heard about the U.S. Census data. We've talked about the stagnant growth in New Mexico, but none of us maybe should understand the real concern about what that data shows. And again, I think it's going to come back to how you vote. So I hope you'll stay with us. I hope you'll listen. We don't want to tell you how to vote. We just want to give you the information so that you make an educated, informed decision as to who you vote for. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages. Corey and Anne-Marie Pensabeni recently sold their home with Holly at Dave Slade & Associates. Corey, why did you hire Holly to sell your home?
We knew that Holly would help us to prepare our home to have the best curb appeal possible. Over the years, we've looked at Holly's website, albuquerquehomeseeker.com, and we've gotten looks at homes that she's had for sale in our area, in our neighborhood, and as we expected, Holly did such a great job. She had our home sold within 2 days, actually less than 48 hours, and Holly protected us from day one. She walked us through all the details before even the offer was made to us. She made sure that the buyer had their things in order and the preparation of the paperwork was very thorough. She will always be the realtor of choice.
Anne Marie, did you enjoy working with Holly and her team?
Oh, absolutely. Holly takes care of everything by the book from A to Z, and your property sells quickly.
Contact Holly at 342-8100 or abqhomeseeker.com. Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book.
Take time to play. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. Daddy, can you launch me? This is a question I often get from my little girl, Carson. It's a question I used to get from her older brother, Cooper, but he's outgrown my need to launch him. When my daughter is asking me to launch her, she's asking me to raise her back on the swing as high as I can, count down from 5 to 0, and then she screams, launch. Sometimes I make her give me a kiss between 0 and launch. Then I release the swing, get out of the way, and she laughs, exudes joy, and she can't wait for me to do it again. You know, sometimes I've made the mistake of saying no to her. She says, Daddy, can you launch me? And I say, no, not now, I'm busy. There are times that I must say no, and I'm sure there are times for you as well. But when I can, I need to lead with the word yes. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. Leading with a yes when it comes to my time saturates my children with my love.
Roger's devotional, A Minute of Vision for Men, is available for pre-order at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
While many of us see signs of a return to normalcy, others around the globe continue to battle the pandemic. In Asia, a second COVID-19 wave is ravaging communities there in what is being called the tsunami of suffering. Gospel for Asia is doing what they can to ease the suffering, but support for their efforts is desperately needed. Pray about your involvement and log into gfa.org/coronavirus for regular updates and an opportunity to make a financial donation. Go to gfa.org/coronavirus, or you can call 800-946-2742. You know, it's so true, Paul. As much as we want to improve New Mexico, we still have it pretty good when you start thinking about others around the world.
No doubt about it, yeah. And a lot of that goes to the rule of law, economic freedom. Certainly, the Trump administration unleashing the pharmaceutical companies from some of the FDA's unnecessary restrictions. And hopefully that becomes a more frequent thing, or at least a thing that is more available in the future, that we can get these companies' products to market faster and cheaper. But yeah, other countries like India don't have the same benefits from these major industries that produce the vaccines so quickly. And it's a tricky issue right now, I know.
Paul, as we went into the break, we talked about the U.S. census data and what it showed about New Mexico and our population. Tell us what we should be concerned about as citizens.
Well, there's a lot to be concerned about, and I know I talk a lot about the challenges facing New Mexico. We all know that this is a great place to be. You know, the Chamber of Commerce weather out there this morning. I mean, we had the rain yesterday, which of course we all love and need the rain and want the rain to eliminate or reduce the forest fires and those issues for our state. But a lot of days are a lot like this in New Mexico, in your upper 70s with beautiful sunshine out. And it's the kind of thing that is attractive to a lot of people. It's one of the big reasons why people in this country, really since the advent of the automobile, have been picking up and moving from the high tax, more densely packed, bigger government oriented, less economically free states in the Northeast, and heading to the beautiful blue skies of places like New Mexico. But more numerically speaking, recently and for quite some time, Arizona, Colorado, Utah, and even Texas, which, hate to break it to you, but they just don't have the weather that we have by any means. But they do have the economic freedom, and that's a big part of it too. And New Mexico's kind of been a one-trick pony. We've always relied on the fantastic weather. We haven't really done much in Santa Fe, the legislature, governors over the years to develop that private sector economy. And that chicken is, the chickens are coming home to roost on that. There's a whole pro-life spiel that you and I could really come to agreeance on with our society, and the dearth of babies and the lack of population growth across the country. But New Mexico just experienced the slowest growth it's ever had in a decade, 2.8%, which is on par with Maine, a very northeastern state, an old slow growth, high regulation state. States around us, though, including Texas, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, are booming. They had double-digit plus growth, some of the fastest-growing places in the entire country. So what's New Mexico doing wrong? I mean, I'll put our weather up against any of our neighboring states. We don't have 120-degree heat like Phoenix. We don't get the crazy snowstorms and tornadoes you get up in Denver. Utah's lovely, but quite honestly, you get a lot more snow and a lot more issues up there, and then you got the wind and humidity down in Texas. It's not the weather that's chasing people away. It's the economic policies that do that. And we're seeing our young people leave. You know, to the extent that we have people moving here, it's predominantly retirees. The young people below the age of, I think it was 24, we saw a real decline in that population. Now, is it job opportunities? Is it education and the system doesn't work for them? Is it something else, crime, I would just say yes, yes, and yes. And we need to do better on all of those fronts. Some of those problems are pretty pretty hard to overcome. It's going to take a while to get our education system up and running in a way that's efficient if we get serious about it. Same with crime. You know, from my perspective, it would be very easy to get our economy in a much more positive framework. But again, in Santa Fe, the political will just hasn't been here. And, you know, this is real world stuff. You know, the Census Bureau analysis from the Legislative Finance Committee says that by the next time this report comes out, so next census, 10 years from now, New Mexico could on net be losing population. We see all the help wanted signs. Certainly that's a function of the unemployment benefits out of Washington, but it's also a function of young people leaving the state, not wanting to work. We're going to have a top-heavy, retirement-heavy workforce. Who's going to do the work around here in this particular state of New Mexico? And there's a lot of issues. And, you know, then, of course, getting down to nitty-gritty politics, we got three congressional candidates in this state, three districts. You lose one of those districts, that means less money, labs, less votes in Congress, electoral votes, assuming that system continues. So, you know, we don't want to lose political power, financial power, all those kinds of things as well. So it's a very, very critical issue, and our elected officials need to be concerned about it. And they'll only be concerned about it if you're concerned about it.
I always like to direct my focus to as much positive as I can. Of course, since you've come on.
I try. I really do try.
You do. And since the last time you've come on, Paul, which was 3 or 4 weeks ago, Intel made a pretty significant announcement about expanding their mission in Rio Rancho.
And that is excellent. $300 million in investment from Intel. That will make a big difference. And that is private sector dollars, relatively little in the way of, you know, what we call corporate welfare. And I'll just say this, you know, the data that we're talking about from the Census Bureau is the decade from 2010 to 2020. We have seen an influx of people, and anybody in the real estate business knows this, suddenly thanks to COVID in part, but the ability to do remote work. And we'll see if that trend really, really continues. But, you have an influx of people to New Mexico. Presumably a lot of those are working age folks who have been freed from the shackles of their desks, and they can now work with the Zoom in their laptops wherever they want to. Certainly that helps New Mexico potential on the population front. Of course, we need to get homes built for these people. We need to make sure that land use and permitting and all these restrictions are not so heavy. And you know, I talk to people who are in that business, and they say, and you go out there, and they say, the first time ever, a few months ago, there were more housing permits generated or pulled in Sandoval County, really Rio Rancho, than Bernalillo County, Albuquerque, for the first time ever. So the population is moving towards, even locally here, a more economically free place, Sandoval County, than here in Bernalillo County. But Albuquerque can still get in. We just need to change our ways a little bit.
And I have to say, a former guest of this program, well, not a former guest, I think he'd be back on the program if I just ask him, and that's Gregory Hull, the mayor of Rio Rancho. He's had a lot to do with all of the good things happening out in Rio Rancho.
Yeah, and having those private sector jobs, I can't overstate how important that is. The fact that Intel is based in Rio Rancho, and that's really the anchor that they've had. And of course, they had some tough times five, 6 years ago. A lot of people thought Intel was going away, not coming to Rio Rancho, investing just in other states. And their business is good enough. They decided that Intel made sense to spend some money on that facility in Rio Rancho. And so, yeah, it would be great if we had, and I do think the folks in Rio Rancho are putting pressure on Albuquerque, and hopefully voters and politicians in Albuquerque kind of respond to that and try to do better than they have.
What I'm hoping, and the purpose of sharing all that we've shared today and other days on the program and talking with you as frequently as we do, Paul, is I'm hoping that our listeners will think through some of these issues. You know, I don't correlate. Like, for example, I had Democrat candidate for mayor Manuel Gonzalez, who is the current Bernalillo County Sheriff. He is a Democrat. He's a Christian. I like what he had to say, and he wants to stop crime. So when you hear Mark Moore say we want to stop crime, I'm thinking about another candidate that's in a different party that wants to do the same thing. Maybe there's some ways they can work together. One in the state, one in Washington.
Absolutely.
Paul, thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Jim.
Connect is presented by Bosque Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.